Once again, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
And since the last time I say good morning, church family, quite a few extra other members and visitors came in. I'm very happy to see the young people here because I believe you can relate to the message that we have reserved for you this morning. You are in the right place, in the right time, and I hope your ears and your mind is very open to what the Lord has chosen to say today. And we humbly, we stand before you on his behalf to bring his message to you. It is not about Pastor Elson. It's not about my particular thinking, but it's what the Lord has for us as his people. Look at this verse. Look carefully. I know. Who knows? The only one who knows everything. I see constantly, especially in a very young age, sometimes when we are trying to misbehave, we look this way and where is mom, where is papi, or look this way, look that way, and we look, but we never look up. We never always aware that the Lord knows everything. And we should not do things because he's looking. We should not do bad things because what we are, not because we are afraid of something. And it says that you are not hot or cold. Basically, the original is supposed to meaning the meaning here, because you are not either dead or alive. You are just in between, like a zombie. And it says, I wish that you were either way. If you are dead, I can resurrect you. And if you are alive, I can inspire you. I can move you. But the problem is that you chose a position that allows me not to be able to reach you. And that is dangerous. It says, because you chose to be lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I have no other option but to spit you out of my mouth. You know, the Bible says the mouth of the Lord is what produces life. He speaks and everything comes to existence. So if we are in his mouth, we have life, but we are spit out of his mouth, we cease to be existent. So now the title for the message this morning. Now, and to wait to... I put this picture of a crowd. Everybody walk in a different position to go somewhere. Everybody thinking about their own things. So I call the title for this message, The State of the Living. Why I chose this? Because we, as a Seventh-day Adventist, we always have a belief that we call the state of the dead. So I decided to play with the title and they say, okay, we're going to be talking about the state of the living. Because what is the state of the dead? Who cares? The dead is dead. They know nothing. There's nothing can be done for them. So what it really counts in life is the state of the living. Sometimes we're so over preoccupied with death that we end up not living. Every single second that we have, we must be grateful to God and use it to the fullest of that gift that we have received. And so, let me ask you this question. What is belief? Some people say trust. I heard somebody say trust. What is belief? I went in and checked because I like to know the root of words. I've done this in my language, in other languages. I really enjoy. So I went and tried to look the etymology of the word believe. To believe, you'd be surprised, exactly what to believe means. Literally, it means to hold dear. But you'd be more surprised what comes next. Not only about value or being satisfied with, but to love. Isn't it amazing? That actually meaning of the word to believe is to love, to care so much for something that you make what that is part of what you are. And when you put together that the Bible says that God is love, it's not possible to believe unless you have God. Because everything that you have that you call belief, if there is no God, is not belief. And that's what the world has sometimes got it wrong. They use belief for a lot of things that they don't love and they don't care. They just trust, but not necessarily that kind of a trust that involves true belief. God created believers. Amen?
Amen.
God never created any unbeliever. God only created believers. And I'll tell you what I mean. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness. What it means in our image and likeness. If the Bible says God is love, let make those humans to love. I want to expand my love. I want to create more people that are like us, that also love. Likeness, so they may be able to reason and they will be able to have that emotion. Now, so God created human beings in his image. In the image of God, he created them. He created male and female. Boys, God not only created us and then made the females, okay? He created both male and female according to his image. That's what the Bible says. But then somebody else decided, I want to create too. Who do you think that came and wants to be a creator too? Satan created unbelievers. Yes. What do you find right in the middle of the word believe? You find exactly what Satan said. You will not die. Would you, someone, please close this two, and also those two, because then you'll be able to see the graphics a little bit more. It'll be better for you to see the graphics. Okay, I believe it helps, right? Okay, and so it says, you will not, thank you so much, you will not die. That's what he says. Why would he say to Adam and Eve, you will not die? That's when he established the doctrine, the state of the dead. He created a new state where you can change your membership and your citizenship, and you can move to that state, the state of unbelievers. He created a lie. Adam and Eve were created like God. And then he said to them, no. If you want really be like God, you have to be someone who knows good and evil. And by the way, the word know, to know, means to be one with. So God does not know good and evil. It's not possible for God to know good and evil, in a sense, to become one with. Light and darkness could not coexist. So if somebody tells you that God knows good and evil, that came from the mouth of Satan. God only knows good because God is good.
Amen.
All the time. Every single time. I like very much the illustration that our brother James and Sister Zinka brought. Sister Zinka is a very brave woman. Sister Zinka, can you hear us? You're a very brave woman because right here in public you refer to your husband as God. That is dangerous. Now, but it's just part of the story, just an illustration. Very well done. It is very important for us to understand that Satan creates unbelievers. If you choose to be unbeliever, you walk away from God and to what Satan has created. Then you really will understand what is the state of the dead is. Now, of course, you saw in this word believe, you have it has to be like God asks us to be, and then lie, and then, of course, the Eve is the last part of belief. And so this all fits very well with Eve. Now, in Egypt and many other civilizations of the past, and I'm going to show some of them here, they also have the same believe on the state of the dead. What did Satan tell Eve? He will not die. Now, why Egyptians have those pyramids and why they put so much food, and they even put their servants, they bury their servants with them, because they believe that they will continue to be alive. They believe in Satan. They became unbelievers. They believe that you will never die. No matter what happened, you never die. So they made all those. This is a, many people know this. This is the mask that complete of gold, pure gold, that was created so this individual could be buried. They believed that they were gods. They would never die. Now, of course, the Babylonians before them have the same mentality. It came from Satan, the same one who established all those kingdoms and rule over them. Then also came the Greeks. The Greeks, you know, I like art, and the Greeks are phenomenal in art, you know, sculptures and everything else. But they also were very keen and propagated the idea that we are gods, that we never die. And then came Rome. And you know what Rome is, that one, right? That's the part of Rome, which is the Vatican, which now stands for. For centuries, these powers, they still teaching the same thing. In the beginning, there was such a wonderful, very alive church in Rome that followed Christ. It was powerful, was performing miracles. And then Satan says, no, you cannot stay. And Satan starts to persecute them. And this church, this power, persecuted the Christians for 1,260 years. That's a lot of persecution. Do you know how many people died as a result of this power, trying to silence those that wants to live? Millions, more than 150 million people died. They create this special committee from priests. And they chose, they said that we want to choose the best priests, the humble ones, the Jesuits. Humble. You better know them, you see humble. If you have attended a Catholic university and met some of them, you see what it is. I have met them. And they create the Holy Inquisition. You know all, you all know what the word Inquisition means, right? The holy power to question everything, to do whatever they please. And they murdered families. They put them in public and they set them on fire. They sent them to be feeding the beasts. They did things that Adolf Hitler will look and says, wow, I never thought about that one. They were as cruel, even the devil learned from them. I know, I'm trying to make an illustration here. You know what I mean. The devil was the teacher that told them to do those things. Beliefs. How many beliefs do we have as a Seventh-day Adventist? You speak like a shy people. How many? 28. Okay, 28. All right. Here is the first one. The Holy Scriptures. Do you know? Don't worry about it. I'm not going to go one by one. But I'm going to show all of them so you can have a picture of them. Okay. The Holy Scripture. This one, number one, makes a distinction between Seventh-day Adventist Church and every other church. Because all the other churches that claim to be Christians, they all claim to respect the Bible and believe in the Bible. But then they go to church on Sunday. Then they believe on the devil, on the matter of the state of the dead. And the list goes on. Then they worship images. Then they worship the dead. And the list goes on and on. So in other words, they really don't believe in the Bible. I once met an individual that I asked, I need some Bibles to give to the prisoners because I asked the chaplain, I need some Bibles. And the chaplain says, oh, no, you don't have to buy. I have boxes of Bibles here. I mentioned this to you before. And then I said, oh, I'll save my church some money, you know, because say, okay, bring the boxes. He brought the boxes, and we opened the boxes, and we found the Bibles. And in the front of the, it says Bible, Holy Bible. And I said, this is a thin Bible. It's very thin. This is a Bible. But he showed me something like this. And I took it, and I opened. And that Bible started with Matthew. I said, what happened to Genesis? And 39 other books. So I went to the chaplain and says, oh, I need the Bible. Oh, I gave you the Bible. I said, no, that's not the Bible. That's just part of it. You'd be amazed how many so-called Christians out there do not call this the Holy Scriptures. They think the holy is just this part. This part is just a historical portion of the Jewish people. That's why when he's about to eat, oh no, that's Jewish. When he's about the Sabbath, oh, that's Jewish. Basically, they clearly tell you, this is not holy. That part is holy. And you know what happens when you divide something in half? And you go on claiming that you hold one half, but you hold the whole thing? Foolishness. That's what we call it. The Holy Scripture, it has to be completely. And in our, as we study, giving Bible studies to those that are will become Seventh-day Adventists by baptism, we tell them the only basis for every belief is the Holy Scripture. If this church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, one day brings pastor us, no, it's not going to be me, but it brings somebody in front of you here or wherever you go, and that person starts to teach you something that is not in the Scripture, in a very polite way, get up and move. Don't subject yourself because you say, I'm so strong. I've been Seventh-day Adventist for 40 years and nothing is going to affect me. Whatever your eyes, your ears, whatever you've been exposed to become part of you because it goes in and you cannot take it out. Don't sit in front of television, listen to this enthusiastic evangelistic that tells you that, oh, my mom is there. Hi, mom. She is over there somewhere. Be careful because that goes in and never comes out. Sometimes we sit, young people, you sit in front of the television and you watch this movie from Disney. Oh, Disney's for children. It's so nice. You'll be amazed how evil Disney can be. They are very deep in teaching spirituality. What about Hollywood? Hollywood is the school of evil. And every single, do you know why the world is so infested with drugs? It's not because drugs taste good or it makes you feel good. How do you think the young people get involved in drugs? Because they look and they see another young person doing drugs and it looks cool. It doesn't show the consequence. And so they look and they copy. Second, the Trinity. Number three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Creation and the nature of humanity. Those are the first seven. Now the next, the great controversy between good and evil. Of course, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, our Lord. The experience of salvation. The growing in Christ. The church, the remnant, and its mission. And we already have people inside of our own denomination, theologians, pushing for us to remove this concept of remnant inside of our church. I was in a pastor's meeting, and I heard a guest speaker saying clearly that we are not the remnant church. We are just part of it. Wow. And I'm not saying this to criticize. I'm saying this for you to be on alert, okay? Because I cannot use the pulpit to criticize I don't think it's ethical for me to be criticizing all the pastors, but I'd like for you to understand, please be on alert. Just because it has stripes doesn't mean that it's a zebra. There are a lot of things over there that has stripes, it's not a zebra. You know what I mean by that, right? Baptism. Sometimes people say, oh, I am a baptized Seventh-day Adventist. By the way, if you're a baptized Seventh-day Adventist and you do not observe the teaching of the church, you just took a bath. That's all it is. And probably you need to take another one because, you know, we don't take one bath for life. We have to take every day. Sometimes a few times a day. So baptism should mean something special to you. The Lord's Supper, communion, spiritual gifts and the ministry, ministries, the gift of prophecy, the law of God, of course, Abba's Day, the Sabbath, and the stewardship. What kind of ship is that? What kind of ship? Yeah, there are a lot of ships that we skip. The stewardship is one of them that some people like to navigate in the church but don't want to be part of this ship. I just thought with a little Christian behavior. You know, we go to one particular church. They teach something. Seventh-day Adventists. You move to another church, they are more relaxed. They don't emphasize that because it caused so many inconveniences. Why touch those little things? Let everybody dress the way they want and live the way they want. Brothers and sisters, behavior is not only about what we say, but how we speak, the way we dress. Do you cover yourself to honor God, or you uncover yourself to honor you? What are you doing with your life? Marriage and family. We have to be very careful because the world today teach marriage according to Caesar. Marriage is totally different. See, now, when you go in public, you say family, they have a new normal now. They define family a different way, marriage a different way. Wow. Christ, ministry, and in a heavenly sanctuary, many people are walking away from this doctrine as well. The second coming of Christ, the death and resurrection, the millennium, and of course, the last one, my home. Yeah, it's talking about my home. Amen. It can be your home too. You know, you. By the way, this one, you don't have to pay mortgage. Those are the 20. But the 26 is the one who says death and resurrection. That's actually the name of the doctrine. Sometimes we refer to the state of the dead. Do you want to be in a state that only causes you to be dead? I'm not gonna resist the temptation to say this. California has almost become the state of the dead. What in the world is gonna happen to our state? God has mercy on us. A state of the dead actually is not about the dead at all. It's about the living. Jesus Christ says this. At the time, many will lose their faith, and he's speaking about your time, my time. He's talking about now. Those that speak Spanish, ahora, ahorita, this moment, not like a few years from now, now. He says, at that time, your time, many will lose their faith. And they will turn against each other and hate each other. Remember what belief was? What was the belief? What was the meaning of belief again? To love. So what happens when you lose belief? You start hating each other. That's why there is so much division among those that claim to believe in Christ, but they don't believe the real Christ. That's why there is hate. Matthew 24, verse 10. Now, verse 11 says this. Many false prophets will come and cause many people to believe lies. What is the word prophet means? messengers, preachers, pastors, male and female, and in something in between. Everything will come and speak up with the intent to deceive, to make you an unbeliever, because that's Satan's job, is to turn you from a believer into an unbeliever. But the trick is, he makes you an unbeliever that thinks that believes. And that is a good art of deception. There will be more and more evil in the world. Right now, do you know how bad things are getting? And I don't want to be the negative person, but it's getting really bad. It says, so most people will stop showing their love for each other. The belief will cease, and unbelief will come in. But those people who keep their faith until the end, they will live. They will move from the state of the dead into the state of the living. If you believe. The good news about God's, the gospel, about God's kingdom, will be preached to all the world, for every nation, every person, because no one will have the excuse not to believe. Then the end will come. The end of what? The end of unbelief. And belief will come in, and belief will be forever. That's why today you must believe, so you can move from one state, the state of the dead, into another state, the state of the living. That's the message for today. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. In me who? The peace himself, Jesus Christ, the life himself. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. If you choose to believe, hate will hate you and will come after you. But don't be discouraged. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. And you follow me, I will help you to overcome the world as well. Hold on to belief, because belief is to love it, and to love is to have life. And then if you do hold on to your beliefs, then Jesus Christ will call into the kingdom. Every belief, the state of living. Every single one who believes, just move from the state of the dead into the state of the living. So that is the place where you should know. I know the Bible verse for this morning. I know what you do. Young people, when I say young people, all of you should say, yes, yeah, I'm here. Okay? Because we all candidates to the kingdom, so we are all very young. Remember this. You'll be tempted. You are a very good target, a big target. You'll be tempted in many ways. But please, remember, when the Bible says, I know what you do, God is not saying this like he's trying to discipline you. He say, I'm familiar with every step that you take. And I know that you are going the wrong path. I want to call your attention so you can change direction, because I want you to live. I know that you are not hot or cold. I know that you chose to become indifferent to spirituality. How many young people today, when we talk about them to go to church, what about this video game? What about this? A church, You know, that kind of attitude of why? It could be that they don't see too much spirituality in their own homes. Or maybe they go to a church where they are even ignored. Nobody even talk about them. So they just sit there until my parents leave. When my parents leave, then I know it's time to go home. I think about this all the time. Every single time I spend energy doing the PowerPoint, every single time I think about you young people too. I know that you're very visual. You like pictures. You like to acquire images in your brain. So I spend time more because of the young people. And sometimes I have some slides that intend for the little ones to pay attention to. Every single time we spend time preparing a message, I think about all of you, the young and the other ones that are also young, but a little older. It says, be careful the indifference. The indifference is a very dangerous condition. And many people choose to be indifferent. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am ready to spit you out of my mouth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the church. The dangers of this kind of state. What is that state? The lukewarm state. What is the time that we are living in? Of the seven churches, which one is this one?
Laodicea.
Are you a member of Laodicea?
No.
I hope not. I noticed that some of you said yes, but you mean well. Do you know why? Because when you go in a Bible class, they tell us that this is the time, we are living a time of Laodicea. But let me give you some surprise for you to take home today. Every single church, all seven churches in Revelation, they existed in the same time, even though they represent prophetic times. So in every single time, the time of the first church, they had people with a Laodicean attitude, even in Ephesus. The same thing is that you can be in Laodicea, but you can have Ephesus love. You cannot say, oh, I'm doomed. I am Laodicea, therefore I have no choice. I have to be lukewarm because that is the condition of the church. Therefore, I need to behave like that. That's what Satan wants you to believe. God is telling us we don't need it to be in a state of the lukewarm. We can move from that into the state of the living. Laodiceans are professed followers of God. Yet, they deny him because of their works. The problem with this church, Laodicea, is not that they do not know the doctrines. They know all the doctrines. The problem is that they don't want to practice them. How many of you, please do not raise your hand. Please don't. How many of you here have spent some time as a Seventh-day Adventist in the past 6 months to go over the doctrines, what church, your church believes? By the way, is in our website, the whole list, there's a short list there, and with the Bible verses, everything, it's all there in the website, in a Seventh-day Adventist Vista Church website. When you go home sometimes Sabbath afternoon, you have all this time, and say, oh, what am I going to do? Why don't you sit down as a family and says, let's talk about doctrine number one. Why am I Seventh-day Adventist and why do I accept this doctrine? Read the Bible verses. You know, please do not discuss theology, go with fancy. No, just open the Bible and let the Word of God just speak. Just read the verses. You'll be amazed that you'll be moving from Laodicea very soon. You'll be moving from the state of the lukewarm into the state of the living. If you live, if you practice what you believe, then you're not going to be a lukewarm. No fault is found in the Laodiceans on matter of doctrine. They are not accused of harboring any pagan teachings. If you look there what Jesus Christ is saying, Jesus Christ is not saying, tell them, oh, you have a Jezebel with you. He says, oh, you are following some pagan customs. No, Jesus Christ did not reprimand them for their beliefs. Jesus Christ reprimanded them because they became indifferent. And this is the danger that we may have as a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, I have the truth. I don't know what it is, but I have it. I haven't looked into it for the past 20 years, but I know that we have, how many? 28. Which one? So please, brothers and sisters, it will come a time and we know that this book is going to be taken away from us. And if you do not have here, the Holy Spirit cannot help you to remember what you have never put in your brain. They are not accused of harboring any pagan teachings. The implications is that having the correct beliefs, it became content, you know, arrogant, self-confident. We have the truth. We are better than anybody else. We are not like those pagans that are going to church on Sunday. We know better. And yet in Sabbath afternoon, we go and watch the game. We are not any better than the ones who go to church on Sunday if that's what we do. Or sometimes we get together and we discuss what is going on now in this team or this fashion or this media thing. And we discuss things on the Sabbath like it's not any other day. And sadly, and I don't mean this in a criticism, as just information for you, some of our own institutions are having activities on the Sabbath that doesn't belong on the Sabbath. And we talk to the ones in leadership and tell them, you know better that this is not activities for the Sabbath, and they will say to you, but if we do on Sunday, nobody will show up. I say, okay, but what about if you do on Sabbath and the Lord doesn't show up? Don't you, it doesn't that supposed to matter for you? Believe me, brothers and sisters, it hurts. It hurts to see my beloved church being allowed the enemy to come in. Just like that beloved church in Rome, full of people, full of love for Christ, allowed paganism little by little to come in, to the point that that church gave their hands to Caesar, and together they started going after those that love the Lord. And for 1,260 years, killed every one of them, children, and some of them they threw on the rocks. Thousands of people, just because they commit one sin, they believe in God. They are satisfied with the correct form of doctrine without its power. You know who said this? Wright Smith, in his book Daniel and Revelation, published in 1897. Long time ago, and is still true into this day. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, remember the word that I have said to you. Remember the word that I have said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, you better believe they're going to come after you too. But I have something, bad news or good news for you, whatever you want to take it. If you become lukewarm, they won't bother you. You are safe for a little short time. Yes, Caesar won't bother you if you keep saying yes to everything that Caesar says that is right. But if you stand for the truth, if you really are a believer, unbelievers will come after you. But don't worry, I have the text here, a promise that will take care of that. It says, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will not do so. But the question is, they don't. They are unbelievers. And you know what unbelievers do? They persecute believers. That's throughout the history. The very image of God is to be reproduced in humanity. Take note of this text, because this is very important. The honor of God, the honor of Christ, is involved in the perfection of the character of his people. Ellen G. White, Desire of Ages, 671. What is the mission? What is the purpose of us, for us to can walk out of this state of lukewarm? Is to reflect the image of God, of Christ. We need to be Christ-like. Amen. And then we will not need to be hot or cold. we're going to be exactly what God wants us to be. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. We need to move from the state of the dead. We need to move away from the lukewarm state. We need to move to the living state. That is the only place you'll find Christ. Amen. You do not find Christ on the first state. If you move to the other state, Christ is not there either. The only place you find Christ is on the state of the living. And in conclusion, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. For I am with you, the Lord says. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. You're not just anybody. You are somebody because I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. That's a promise that you can count on. He will hold your hand up, and with his righteous hand, he will keep you with your faith. Look at the hand that is extended to you. Isaiah 41:10, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because as I went through my own crisis as a young person, I read this few times. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear, because whatever fear is, faith is not present. Whatever fear is, love is not present, because love and fear cannot coexist. They are the opposite of each other. So have faith. And then in Peter 5:7, New Century Version, it says, God cares for you, my brother and sister. Believe it. So turn all your worries, all your fears over to him, and he will take care of everything. Some of you may say, we heard this during the Sabbath school lesson, yes, we have a crisis going on right now. Financial crisis, political crisis, instability in many parts, and that creates some anxiety sometimes. You don't know if you're going to have a job. You don't know if your income is going to stop. You don't know a lot of things. The things that you do not know that you make you worry so much, maybe if you replace that with the things that you must know, then what you do not know won't bother you that much. Let me tell you what I mean. If you start to become very close to God and know how much he cares for you, then maybe the worries will take care of themselves. Trust God. I can tell you this, brothers and sisters. A person who is 10 years old, have no father, no mother, the only family that you have don't want to keep you, puts you in an orphanage. Somebody who never heard somebody during the age, you know, when it's 2 until you're 20 some years old, you never heard somebody say, I love you. It is drastic to go through life without hope, without any idea what is going to be tomorrow. When you don't have mom and dad to provide for you, those of you here that have mom and dad provides to you, sometimes you complain because I don't like this dress. I want that other dress. Be happy that you have a dress. That I look at some part of the world, people are half naked, not because it's the style, it's because they don't have money to buy the rest of it. They would have covered themselves completely if they could. Here in America, where we can afford to buy as much clothes as we want, we wear only half of it. Where we can afford to pay, we don't buy it. And so when you have this kind of a in life, it can be scary, going back to the story that I was saying. But I learned very early in my life that God was there. And when I realized that he was there, my life was never empty again. I stand before you as a witness. The love that I have for my God is a love that I don't know how come you don't have the same, because there's no other God like the God that we serve. Amen. When he says that he takes care of you, The only reason I'm standing before you is because all this promise was keeping my life. I had reason to be long, long gone, dead. But yet, the Lord came to my life and make a total change. I was just 16. The same time somebody offered me the Bible, somebody also offered me drugs. Somebody offered me alcohol, pills. And believe it, when you don't have a father or mother to say to you that is wrong, when you don't have a cousin, or it's much easier just to grab it. But the Lord was there telling me, don't. And today I'm standing before you a very happy man, because I have a beautiful wife.
Amen.
I have beautiful children.
Amen.
I have a beautiful church.
Amen.
I have a great Savior, a wonderful and beautiful God.
Amen.
How can I not say that I'm happy? I got everything that a man don't even deserve. So God be with you, and remember, He cares for you. Care for each other, then you won't be Laodicea. Care for each other, then you don't need to live in the state of lukewarm. Care for each other, and then you'll be part of the state of the living. God bless. Why don't we all march to Zion? Aren't you tired to be in this state? Let's move to Zion.